Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. We do have two guests who are becoming fairly regular contributors to the program, and I know many of you are enjoying their broadcasts. Bob Roberts is the founder and director of Kids for Truth Ministries, and we have Chad Moeller, who is a youth pastor in Rochester, Minnesota. And men, both of you have been on the program before. Welcome back.
Oh, great to be here.
Glad to be back.
We are right in the middle of a series of programs designed to help us raise our children for the Lord. And last time we were together, you were helping us to understand what it's like to be a Christian as a 9-year-old or as an 8-year-old, and kind of how to form our children's spiritual development and how to respond to things spiritually that come up in their life. And I'd like to continue that discussion with you a little bit today, if we might. How do you help a parent who seems to be clueless about where their kid is? How do you help a parent see where their kid's coming from?
Well, number one thing is just time. You've got to spend that time, have that relationship with their child to find out what's he involved in, who are his friends. These are priceless tidbits of information that are going to help parents know where they're at, because you need to know where they're at in order to know mm-hmm. where to go from there.
We're kind of focusing our attention on this broadcast in the preteen years. Where are the critical moments in those preteen years? I mean, if you could kind of chart it out, as you both of you guys have worked with kids for a while now, where would you say the parent needs to be focused in on it? What stages are there in those preteen years, critical moments?
I'll answer first, Bob, but you can tell me what you think. I personally don't see any downtime. I don't see any let-up time in the kids. I think any time there is a let-up where we're not on guard or seeking the mm-hmm. Lord's face and direction, Satan can get his foot in the door. And I guess I don't personally have any specific moments. I think the upper elementary and junior high age seems to be a key time for future, you know, dedication of life to his work. But as far as Satan getting a foothold, I think he's always there waiting for us to be not involved with our children.
Yeah, the time is all the time. We have clear biblical mandates.
Those are along with Deuteronomy 6 that you brought up.
Right.
Previously.
Yeah. God doesn't give you any loopholes in Deuteronomy 6 as far as taking a break from talking about God or living God before their eyes. Mm-hmm. I would also mention, some people might hesitate and say, well, Deuteronomy 6, that's the Old Testament. You know, get real, Bob. That's for the Israelites.
Yeah, and they were going into the land of promise. And
right. But I would argue that, well, the difference between them and us today is that we have much clearer revelation about God. We have more light.
Mm-hmm. We know that
God mm-hmm. has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So if Deuteronomy 6 applies to anyone, it ought to apply to the church in the world today.
Well, maybe let me just talk about it this way. Let me tell you something that took me by surprise. You know, because obviously I care about my kids. I want to disciple them. I want to do Deuteronomy 6. I've actually preached messages out of Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah,
to people.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Sure.
But my son is 9, and we have a great relationship. He and I are very close. He is a fun kid. I mean, I just happen to have a boy who is all boy.
Right, and I can vouch for that.
And he is a blast. I mean, I laugh all the time when I'm with him. I mean, I delight when we're by ourselves in the car. I delight to engage him in conversation because he is just a stitch. I mean, he'll come up with these lines that, I mean, where did he get those from? And it's been like this, really, from the time he was 5 or 6. I mean, we just have a really good connect. I began to notice when he turned 8, right around that time, that he began to watch certain kinds of programs. Not that they were bad programs, but his taste in what he watched shifted. He used to really get into Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and all that stuff. One of my favorite things to do with him, we used to watch Robin Hood, the cartoon version, Disney cartoon version, and we used to take those Christmas wrapping tubes, and we used to make clear the living room, put the furniture all, and we'd engage in these huge sword fights, and all of a sudden he wasn't interested in that anymore, and he started to watch more programs that I thought we were going to hit when he was a teen. I wasn't prepared as a parent to handle some of what he wanted to watch, And so trying to deal with that, we had to deal with it. We do deal with it, but it really took me by surprise. And it shouldn't have. But are you guys experiencing that? Are you seeing that out there?
Oh, absolutely. There's not a word that I can come up with to say how absolutely. Media is just bombarding all of us continually through billboards, through music, through television, through videos. And if you watch TV any length of time, you're going to realize that they're targeting the youth. Commercials, the programs, there really is a Hollywood agenda, and it's not a healthy one. They don't love God.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Dr. Horn, you mentioned that you are working with your son and have worked on this, but there are a lot of parents that don't and leave that TV on, and then I think are surprised when their appetites change, when the world is gearing them for their appetites to change. And if they're left to themselves, they are going to desire more things that are worse.
Well, it just took me completely by surprise. I wasn't ready for him. I didn't think he would have any interest in those kinds of themes. I mean, when I was nine, all I can remember when I was nine was I wanted to go out and play forts and football.
Sure.
Or baseball. I was very active. I don't remember wanting to sit down and watch a teen sitcom.
Sure. Well, what'd Paul say? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It shouldn't surprise us that we do gravitate toward that type of media. And we're seeing it. We're seeing with the youth, they're growing up faster. 9 years old is probably about...
They've seen more 12, by nine than when we were nine.
Right. That's probably it, Chad, to just be honest. I mean, I wasn't interacting with ideas and themes that are commonplace until I was in my teens.
Sure.
When I go to camp, I ask a question every week, and I say, how many of you kids have a television in your room? And about half of them. About half. You're talking hundreds of kids.
These are junior age young people.
Junior age, between third grade and sixth grade.
Half.
And I tell them, I say, I want you to get real quiet. I want you to lean in a little bit. And I'm going to say, Big Bob's going to give you a piece of advice now. Best piece of advice you'll ever hear. Get rid of that TV in your room. Mm-hmm. You're not mature enough. Maybe one kid in a million is spiritual enough without the help of mom and dad to regulate the television. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the best steps moms and dads can take is to regulate, to control the media that goes in through their eyes and their ears of the children.
Let me ask a hard question. And I say it's hard because every family has to make this decision for themselves. And we can get legalistic in our approach to this.
Oh, sure.
But what advice, I mean, how do you help a parent regulate? I mean, how do you teach a parent to regulate their television viewing? What are some steps?
I challenge the boys and girls to go home and just say, Mom and Dad, look, I'm not doing real well in this area. Could we turn the TV off for a week? I say, would you just try it for a week and see what happens? I mean, because you've already survived a week of camp. And look, you're still alive. And I have them, they give themselves a big round of applause. They were able to make it a week without TV. We can make it a month without TV. I mean, we can make it a year without TV. And so I try and inspire the kids to go home and be the dagger in the heart of mom and dads to say, Mom, Dad, can we just turn it off and play a game or something?
And if mom and dad are listening now, the biggest thing they could do would be to probably set an example with their viewing habits. What are they watching? Do the kids see them come home after work and just watch TV? If it's okay for dad to do it, why can't we do it?
Read a statistic recently that said something to this effect, that a person lives to 70 years old. By the time they die, they will have ingested over 7 years of television. That's quite
a lot of time.
Yeah.
Can television be used properly? Can it be used effectively in a home?
I do not think that television should be what we rely on to get across good morals. Let's say you had a good program that taught good morals. We ought not rely on that as a crutch. It could maybe reinforce something we did, maybe a good old show that had some good stuff. But to rely on that to take the place of what we should be doing by example or through devotions, I think would be a wrong focus.
Yeah, you know, the question is, do you want your kids to get their heritage of truth from you or the TV set?
Even if it is a good character on TV.
Sure.
It's interesting. I was talking with somebody, and I heard him say this, and it really resonated with me. his statement was, we limit the number of hours our children can watch television per week. And then we make them choose what they want to watch. I guess they have a television guide or something, and they sit down, and they only have an hour or whatever. Let's say they get an hour a week or whatever it is a week they get. And they have to choose based on that time what they want to watch. Of course, mom and dad have to approve what they want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But this becomes a way then to relegate it, or to regulate it rather, and it becomes a way to teach the children, you know what, that's a program we really don't want to watch, and here's why, versus this might be a better choice. Now, I'm not saying that should happen in every home, but I did think that was a unique approach that one parent took at least.
Right.
Lead to some good discussion.
Let's talk about another area for kids. What do you do with the whole arena of PlayStation and Xbox and video games? Because in my son's life, that is a much bigger factor than TV.
Yeah, and it's so immersive. I mean, you see the trend that these games, they're becoming much more immersive. I mean, it's total escapism.
Yeah. I was just saying, tell me, what do you mean by that?
Where you live the game, where you just get enveloped into the game.
And it's more addicting for the player.
Right. It's a whole alternate reality. And that's why it's so addicting. Talk
and the
about
graphics are so real now.
Right.
I feel like
I used
there.
To play Pong. Remember? Well, you probably don't remember Pong.
Oh man,
that's
that was
a great
game. Pong.
Atari. When I was growing up, Atari was about as big as it got.
Oh, ew, Atari 2600. Yar's Revenge.
I haven't heard about that for a long time. Oh yeah. Well, so help us as parents with that. What would you say to us?
I think some of the same things we were mentioning about television could be applied to video games. There are a lot of video games that probably young people should not be playing, period. Are we going to throw all of them out? A lot of parents won't do that. But there are a lot of games that are just not right, just as there are television shows that a Christian has no business being a part of.
Yeah.
I try and steer, you know, if a parent were to ask me, I would say sports games would be something that you can usually get away with, but you have to be careful in all
sure.
of it. Music, cheerleaders, there might be in some of them, so there are a lot of dangers.
And I'm sure we got parents out there that are just feeling frustrated. You know, they're hearing us talk about all these really almost utopian ideals, and they're thinking, okay, great. How in the world can I compete?
You tell my kid that.
Yeah, with TV and with movies and with video games. Well, really the simple answer is that those things cannot love. Those things cannot accept that child and give them a big, warm, tender hug and just say, you are a part of this family and I love you, buddy.
I mean, I don't even know how to work half the games he plays, but I've got to be involved. And
proactive
is,
instead of waiting to hear about it from
right.
your son.
That's right. Well, we're out of time, men. Thank you for being with us. www.kidsfortruth.com. Is that right?
That's correct. The number 4.
And I hope many of you listeners today will visit that website. You have been a blessing, men, in helping us raise our children for God. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.